Well, to start out with, I'd like to apologize for not wishing all the listeners and their families a safe and enjoyable 4th of July. Now, I'm recording this on Tuesday, June the 30th. But, of course, when it's aired on WCBK Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, the July 4th celebration will have occurred on Saturday. And so I meant to say that last week, but you know how it is when you have those senior moments. Okay, let's move on. This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 13. God has dealt bountifully with me. And we're going to notice that this Psalm starts out on a low note, but it ends on a positive note. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And again, those initials, PFE, that helps us stay focused, which we should be anyway, wanting to go to heaven and be with God and all the faithful and the angels of heaven for eternity. Well, of course. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. Then we gather together to worship God in the assembly, and we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, having a good attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. We love to have visitors. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would be glad to set that up at your convenience. And also, we have Bible correspondence courses available as well, free of course. Now, let me mention also about if you have Bible questions. We're glad to get those and strive to answer from what the Bible says. And then another thing would be your comments, positive or negative. They're welcome as well. So again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, with the fair fast approaching, we're looking forward to having a booth in the merchant tent. And we'll have free Bible materials available and correspondence courses, and we look forward to meeting you. And so come by and see us there in the merchant tent with the banner, the Morgan Street Church of Christ. Now, let's get into our study this morning. God has dealt bountifully with me would be a good title for Psalm 13. So let's go ahead and read the entire Psalm. Excuse me, Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Excuse me. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So you see how it started out on a low note, and again it finished on a positive note. So let's notice this Psalm of David, possibly written about the time Saul sought to kill David, 1 Samuel 26:20. Well, as we notice here in the first three verses, I want to emphasize this. God does not forget us. David here is saying, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me?" Well, God hadn't forgotten David. Of course not. God was not hiding. God is omnipresent. So we don't want to ever think God is hiding. But remember Job, he thought God had caused his suffering. Well, he was mistaken. Satan had brought all this on Job, accusing God of not being worthy to be faithful to. And God allowed Satan to take away Job's possessions and his 10 children, number of his servants. All his possessions were a large amount, but the 10 children was the worst. And then later, Satan, in the second round, brought problems with Job's health, boils from head to toe. So, you see, Job was mistaken. And just as David here, thinking God had forgotten him. Let's go to Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews 6:10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." No, God did not forget Job or David, nor does he forget us today. Let's be assured of that. The problem is us forgetting God, is it not? Well, that happens, unfortunately. One time would be too many, but how many times would you say that happens today? Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 8:11 in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 8:11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And again, Psalm 9:17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That's the problem, forgetting God. It's not the other way around. Now, let me ask this. Have you ever questioned God? Sometimes that happens. People question God, just as we see here with David. You know, we may not understand why God does or does not do something, but we should never question God. No, we shouldn't. Let us never, never, never forget that God is perfect and does not make mistakes. That's right. God is perfect and does not make mistakes. And let's go on now to verse 4. "Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Evil must triumph over good. Good shall overcome evil. Evil must not triumph over good. Well, David is thinking that his enemy is going to prevail against him, but that did not happen with Saul taking David's life. We know that. Let's look at Genesis 50. Genesis 50, verse 20. "Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, yet good came out of the evil done by his brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Yes. Joseph was sold into slavery, as we know, by his brothers. They were jealous. The coat of many colors, remember? And Joseph had dreamed dreams and those things that had happened. Yet good came out of the evil that was done by his brothers. As you see here, let's read that again, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Well, Joseph was second to Pharaoh, and he knew about the famine. 7 years, but there were 7 years of plenty, so you stock up. Remember that? Many people were saved alive because of Joseph being sold into slavery and ended up as second to Pharaoh. Let's look at some New Testament scriptures emphasizing good shall overcome evil. We must not think about evil triumphing over good. Focus on this, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? That love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. Think about that. Do we love God as we should? And are we responding to the gospel call and living the faithful Christian life according to His purpose? Well, are we? Now, what about Romans 12:21? Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what works. Not revenge and more evil on top of the evil already committed. Overcome evil with good. What about Psalm 37:27? Psalm 37:27. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Proverbs 14:19. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked, the evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Yes, the evil bow before the good. Now, John 5:29, and Jesus said, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Well, it shouldn't be difficult to say, I want to be of those that are raised unto the resurrection of life. Well, certainly I want that, but am I doing the good of following Christ and the pattern of the New Testament, obeying the commandments of the law of Christ? You see, that's doing good. But if I've done evil, I can be assured it's going to be the resurrection of damnation. So the choice is ours, is it not? But let's go on, verse 5 again. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now David is back on track. He's where he needs to be. Trust in God's mercy, and the result will be rejoicing and salvation. That's right. Trust in God's mercy, and the result will be rejoicing and salvation. Now, you know, David later became king, and after he had been delivered from all his enemies, let's see what he said in 2 Samuel 22:1-3. 2 Samuel 22:1-3. Excuse me. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this psalm in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Now this is the David that is after God's own heart. But let's go on to verses 20 through 22 here in 2 Samuel 22. 20 through 22. And he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. That's right, David kept the ways of the Lord. He didn't get away from doing God's will and departing into the wickedness, even though he was persecuted. See, this is what needs to be understood about trusting in God's mercy. And then again, we're seeing the rejoicing and salvation as the result. Well, let's go down to verses 30 through 33 now. 30 through 33. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. That's right. We can all say amen. Verses 50 through 51. Verses 50 through 51. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Well, of course, you see David in the seed line of Christ. So, the point is, we must fully trust God, and he will deliver us too. Is that not the lesson for us? Fully trust God, not halfway. Fully trust God and he will deliver us. And certainly not trust in ourselves or riches. That doesn't work out. 2 Corinthians 1:9. 2 Corinthians 1:9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God which raiseth the dead. There it is. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now let's appreciate that. That's right. But not trust in uncertain riches. That's not going to get us anywhere. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Boy, that's a faith builder, isn't it? That's right. That verse, verses there should lift us up. For that's 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, the God of all comfort. But we are comforted, therefore we need to comfort others, because we're comforted of God. You see, we can spread it, this comfort, and be a good influence, be the salt of the earth, the light that's not hid under the basket, but shining forth on the hill, as Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, did he not? Matthew 5. Well, let's notice now verse 6 here in Psalm 13. Verse 6 of Psalm 13. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And was that not the title of our lesson this morning? God has dealt bountifully with me. Well, that's right. You see, God has blessed us in Christ. Now, David was before Christ, but he was one who was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and he was blessed by God, having prevailed against his enemies and had been dealt bountifully with. But you see, we have been blessed by obeying the gospel and being added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. Remember Job, as we mentioned earlier, having all that suffering and was misunderstanding how that suffering came about. But he stayed faithful to God even after all that persecution and distress, losing 10 children. Let's go now to Job chapter 42, verses 12 through 17. Job 42, beginning in verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jeremiah, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Kurenhappuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Where are all spiritual blessings today? Only in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, that's where all the spiritual blessings are, only in Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:6, 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Yes, the more we're sowing the seed of doing the will of God, we're going to reap bountifully and more so. Well, notice Psalm 116, verse 7. Psalm 116, verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Can we not say that if we're faithful in the Lord's church? Of course we can say it. But if we're not faithful, then it's not too late to change and do something about that. You see, God has dealt bountifully to all of us in the sense of giving us life and giving us the things that we need to live in this life. But the special blessings in Christ come from obedience to the gospel and remaining faithful in Ephesians 1:3. Again, that's where all spiritual blessings are. So, where we may become discouraged at times, just as David did, but let's never think that God forgot us. No, God does not forget us. That's right. God does not forget us. Let's be thankful for God's bountiful blessings, and let us never forget God. That's the problem of man forgetting God. It's not the other way around. So if we remain faithful unto death, then we will be dealt with bountifully eternally. When Christ comes again, we'll be ready to meet Him. We'll be looking forward to seeing Him. Yes, rejoicing. But if one is not prepared, what is the holdup? What's more important than preparing for eternity? Getting this, that, and the other done in this life? Well, when this life is over, what will this, that, and the other mean to you then? Let's get ready for eternity now. And so we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. You know how our faith must come? Through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the one that died for our sins. We need to understand He had no sin. Being the Lamb of God, He was the perfect sacrifice. Our sins were upon Him. He died for us, everyone that has sinned. And so we need to appreciate what Jesus did and believe that He is the Christ. That motivates us. Well, let me mention, of course, John 8:24. We must believe that He is the Christ. And now, motivated, we repent. We're going to make a change of wills and do the will of God. Get out of a sinful life and go the way God would have us to go. Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. That's the good confession before others. Having made the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed, to be buried into the watery grave of baptism, where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, submitting to His authority. Acts 22:16. So, once we've obeyed the gospel, then what happens? The Lord adds us to His body, the true church, the church of Christ that Jesus built. He purchased it with His blood. Acts 2:47. Now we need to remain faithful, even if it meant our death. We'll receive the crown of life, the victory. Revelation 2:10. So that's what we all should be ready to respond to, the invitation of the Lord. That's right. And we want to thank everyone so very much for listening today.